Now. Real people. Real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Now, during the news, by the way, we heard the very serious warning about drink driving over the Christmas. The festive season, of course, brings a lot of dangers with it, as well as a lot of fun. And enjoy yourself. Please do go out and enjoy yourself. Have a good time if you're having a work Christmas party, whatever it is. But please don't drink and drive. Every year it blows my mind when I see in January the reports that so many people were arrested for drink driving. I pass by some pubs on the way home from work sometime, you know, or in the evening time, and I see the car parks full and I wonder, all these people are out for Christmas nights out and yet the car park is full. How are they all getting home? Clearly some of them are going to risk driving. So please don't do that. One of the other dangers, of course, and I mentioned before the break, is recently published Garda figures show that there were just 52 reports, allegedly, cases of spiking in the country in 2023. However, the real figure is believed to be much higher than that, because a lot of the time people don't realise they've actually had their drink spiked. You know, they just don't realise it themselves. With no proper protocols in place for victims and the lack of support from the Gardaí and the HSE and the publicans, many of these cases go unreported. Unfortunately, drink spiking is becoming an issue for, I suppose, a lot of people on a night out across the country. And my guest tonight is a politician who has first-hand experience of this issue and is working to raise awareness and change protocol when it comes to drink spiking. Aoife Rose O'Brien joins me now. Good evening, Aoife. And it is a bigger problem, I suppose, than we possibly could imagine.
Good evening, Niall. Thank you very much for having me on. And yes, it is. Unfortunately, the statistics that we have been giving, they're not reflective of the issues on the ground. I see, you know, according to the Garda statistics in 2023, there were only 52 reported cases. But I personally would have near to that number of victims in Wexford alone reach out to me in the past 12 months.
Yeah. I mean, how did you end up in the situation you were in, which is basically an advocate for victims of abuse and this type of abuse? How did you end up in that situation yourself? What was your own story?
So, unfortunately, I was on a night out myself. I suppose I put my own trust in a worker of the establishment that I was in for a drive home. And I suppose, to cut a long story short, my drink was spiked by that said person with a high rate of a sedative. I woke up about 12 hours later in a different house. I've no recollection. I never will have any memory of what happened to me that night. And unfortunately, I woke up with something even more sinister happening. And
I'm sorry to hear that.
It is what it is now, but I've used my trauma and my experience to try and shed some light and with the hope to try and change this very serious issue that's happening in Ireland right now. I mean, when we discuss, you know, sexual violence, less than 2% of reported rapes end in conviction in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And that's something I am almost blue in the face and saying.
I think a stark reminder of that would be the Nikita Hand, of course, case there last week against Conor McGregor. That would be a stark reminder. She did try to take, of course, that case to the DPP, who rejected it. The weight of evidence is very difficult sometimes. And then women have to relive that trauma, of course. That's a decision they have to make by going to court and by going to the Garda Síochán and having to relive the trauma of the sexual violence or sexual assault. But in relation to the drink spiking, which really concerns me, because I worked in the nightclub industry for 25 years and it was happening then. Rohypnol, of course, was the drug that was being used at the time. Is that still what they use? Is it still Rohypnol, or are there other drugs that they're using nowadays?
There are different drugs. I mean, you do have the Rohypnol. You've got one called scopolamine, which is actually originally used to treat nausea and Parkinson's disease and like.
Wow.
We have ketamine, which we all know is a tranquilizer.
Course, yeah.
You've got cocaine. And I suppose one thing since I started looking into this that almost came as a shock to me, in a sense, is that alcohol itself is used as spiking. Mm. And that's something that obviously is much, much harder to identify and to prove. But look, with all of the drugs that are out there at the moment, I suppose when I am collaborating with different, you know, the pharmaceutical companies and the likes and different bodies who are trying to investigate this further, they're telling me that, you know, there's over 600 drugs out there in Ireland right now that they are trying to identify and then find, you know, I suppose, more information. And unfortunately, it's the victim at the end of the day who is getting the
I mean, who are these perpetrators? I'm assuming it's stereotypical. You know, girl goes to the bathroom, leaves a drink on the table with a group of people. Everybody's having a good time. Everybody's joking. Everybody's laughing. Nobody's going to notice somebody sticking something in the drink, probably. People are not watching for those kind of things. So who is this predator? Is there a stereotypical profile of the type of person that would do something like this?
Unfortunately not, Niall. I mean, yes, you have your stereotypical victim and perpetrator, but just to give an example, I was told of a story this morning of a young girl who was actually spiked in school by people who are on an opposition team. They had a county final the next day and they wanted to knock her out of the game because she was so talented. Another example is a really, really sad story. An 82-year-old man in a rural side of Wexford. And I'm presuming that the reason why they spiked him was just for pure entertainment.
For a prank.
And to humiliate him. Yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, that's a bit of a warning just so there. I know we're talking about something different, but I was very familiar many years ago with people, men, spiking each other with Viagra. Which is a horrendous thing to do because, A, it's quite dangerous because Viagra can have serious side effects for some people, but they have a heart condition or whatever else. And also spiking women with Viagra too. And it's extremely dangerous thing to do because you could actually kill somebody.
Well, this is what I'm trying to highlight as well. I mean, at the end of the day, when you mix any sort of a chemical, there's bound to be a chemical imbalance, and that's why we have, you know, we have so many trained professionals in the field who need to look at the contraindicators and such. And when you take, you know, your fellow up the road who decides that he is going to spike so-and-so in the pub on a Saturday night just for pure entertainment or for something more sinister, they don't know what medication they're on. They don't know their health history. They're putting something into their system. Like for me, for example, I was given a sedative that was 3 times too strong for my body size. Mm-hmm. And that's a very typical thing that we are seeing for an awful lot of the victims who have shared their stories with me anyhow. An awful lot of these people either wake up, you know, your typical kind of 10 hours later, some in the hospital, some not, unfortunately. And the health implications that they have faced since then, they're the things that aren't being reported, and that's quite scary.
And when we talk about people not reporting them or not wanting to report them or maybe not bothering because they feel nobody's going to listen, in your experience and from talking to others, how are the victims dealt with, you know, when somebody goes to the guards or they go to the HSE or whatever it is to report an incident of spiking? How are they dealt with?
Unfortunately, not very well, Niall. I suppose the majority of victims and their feedback to me is that they don't feel heard. They don't feel like they are believed. And the support services that are in place, which there are actually quite a few, but that information isn't being shared in that time with them. And I suppose, for a better word, like the victims don't see what reward is there for them to come forward. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen what Nikita Ann has just went through, and I know that's not relating to spiking, but that is a prime example of how hard it is to face the Irish judicial system. And, you know, I suppose I can only talk for myself, for my own personal experience, for factual information. It's drawn out. It's excruciating. And
well, it doesn't help when we get involved in victim blaming, which happened with Nikita Hand as well. You know, this kind of this idea that maybe they're thinking, "Oh, sure, why should I report it? Am I part of the blame myself? I was out drinking too much anyway." And maybe they feel like that, which they shouldn't feel like that, by the way. But maybe that's the way they feel because society has led them to feel like that.
Well, this is it. I mean, look, we're very conservative. It's a conservative country, and I think that there is a level of shame that people feel if, you know, I suppose typically we call it the beer fear, okay? And that's a very innocent side to this, where somebody might have had a few too many drinks, they mightn't have realised how, you know, how flamboyant they were being the night before. If you accelerate that times a thousand, mm-hmm. and then add in the fact that you've been spiked, that's giving people a rough idea of the reality of how this feels. But I mean, when, you know, a lot of victims have come to me who have actually tried to go into the emergency department and had their blood tested, and they've been told that they will not be a priority case, and they've been sent home. And I suppose I submitted a PQ to the Minister for Health, who was Stephen Donnelly at the time, back in kind of September 24, through our TD Johnny Myden.
Just to mention, by the way, you're a local councillor with Sinn Féin, is it?
Yes, I was locally elected, recently elected, sorry, at the local council level, yes.
Okay.
I suppose I have to pass all of these questions through our local TD.
Yeah.
We submitted a question, and Stephen Donnelly actually passed that to the HSE for a response, okay, which at the start I was kind of, I suppose it was questionable. And the response that we got back was actually fairly upsetting, because they actually responded by basically saying that if a patient presents themselves and states that they believe they've been spiked, unless they are acutely unwell, that they won't give medical intervention. And that's me paraphrasing now, okay?
Mm, yeah.
Now, I suppose my question back to that is, define a patient who is acutely unwell.
They could have went in five
minutes to 10 hours later, depending on the drug, depending on the amount of the drug put in their system, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not as precise as they might make it out to be. And from the victim's feedback that I've been given, the majority of people who've came to me have actually said, we did actually try to go to the hospital, and they said no. From my own personal experience, I rang the care doc. Look, by the time I came around, all I wanted to know was what was given to me. I rang the care doc, explained the scenario. They referred me straight to the hospital. When I got there, I was put into a room for a couple of hours on my own, and a lovely, lovely nurse now, and don't get me wrong, the staff there are absolutely incredible. She came in to me and said, look, we actually can't help you. Can we call the guards for you? And the guards then actually had to bring me up to the sexual assault unit in Waterford. And that was about 18 hours later. And that's when I got my blood test taken.
So I don't know how these things work. That's what I was going to say. I don't know how these things work. I'm not obviously, I don't understand the biology about the human body when it comes to these kind of drugs. But I'm assuming after the kind of 24-hour period, this stuff has kind of worked its way out of your blood at this stage. So it probably won't show a positive, would it?
Yes, typically 8 to 12 hours is your typical window. Again, it depends on the drug that they've given you and the dosage. But I mean, for anybody going in, a 12-hour window there, you know, it's paramount to get that and catch it at the right time.
And how are the guards are dealing with it? I mean, when you say to a guard, listen, I was in such and such a pub, you know, I only had two drinks, but, you know, I was literally unconscious. I don't remember what happened. You know, are they willing to go out and go to that pub to get the CCTV to have a quick look, or is that something that they're doing?
They are. Well, locally they are. And in fairness to them, unfortunately, our Gardaí units here were actually cut back in November 23. And I know that they're very under-resourced here. They do go to the crime scene, for use of a better word, or the location of where the spiking occurred. They do actually get the CCTV footage. But, I mean, we are talking about the perpetrators behind this. The sleight of hand and the skill that they have is, it's so, so hard to identify that on a camera. And, I mean, we're also looking at people who have actually been spiked by a needle. According to the Gardaí...
I've heard about that, yeah. I've heard about people actually sticking hypodermic needles into people. Yeah, I've heard that.
Well, this 28% of the reported case have been a victim of a needle spiking. 50% only were through a drink, and 22% were unknown. And I suppose that when they say unknown, they're saying it wasn't possible for the Gardaí to determine through the evidence that was given. You're talking about, like, take your typical pub scenario or nightclub scenario. I suppose on average you have at least what, maybe 30 to 100 people in that room. It's dark, it's crowded, people are moving.
People are drunk.
And then you're trying you're trying to identify one culprit in a movement that took potentially 5 seconds for him to make or her to make.
Yeah. The victim themselves might even feel it because, you know, I don't know where they'd stick the needle, I suppose, in someone's bottom or somebody's thigh or whatever it is, you know, keeping it down low so other people can't see it, I would imagine. And that might be just a moment where they go, oh, what was that? You know, and you probably mightn't even notice it. You know what I mean?
This is it. Well, that's the general feedback, especially when these incidents typically happen in a pub setting where people are consuming alcohol.
Yeah.
You know yourself that your senses, you know, they're not the same as when you are sober. So if somebody was to bump into you accidentally or on purpose and jab a little needle in you that takes the 2 or 3 seconds, you're not really going to feel that. And it's absolutely terrifying, to be quite honest with you. Like, and I mean, when we look at Ireland's rates, you know, spiking and drugs are obviously very closely linked. We have 4 times the average fatality rate for drug death across Europe. And that's terrifying. You know, it just goes to show drugs are in every community in Ireland right now.
Yeah.
And I am just terrified that, you know, as I said, like the sources have told me that we've over 600 known drugs that are circulating through Ireland right now.
Okay, just very quickly, because I've only got 3 minutes, but I want to know, what protocols are you calling for to be put in place now to deal with victims of spiking? What are the protocols you're looking for?
Well, I suppose the very basic would be to call on the HSE and ensure that any and every potential victim of spiking is given a blood test, and that's the absolute baseline. From their medical intervention should absolutely be given. The same for the Gardaí. I know that they are under-resourced, but I suppose we just want everybody to feel heard. We want this to be an immediate action taken. All of the protocols that are in place on paper are there, but we just need to have this enforced.
I suppose that the warning for people, look, this is the time of the year where the majority of people at some point during December are going to go out for a Christmas party, be it with their friends on the road or their best friends or their work colleagues. I mean, what would your advice to particularly girls, young girls, when they're going out, on these nights out, you know, to avoid or to certainly reduce the risk? You can never avoid, but certainly to reduce the risk of this happening. What would your advice be?
Well, look, checkyourdrink.com, a few different bodies like that. You can actually order your own home test. It's a little kit that you can dipstick your own drink. Now, look, they've maybe a 95% plus rate that they can actually identify that there is drink there.
Yeah.
Obviously, none of them are 100%.
So I didn't know that. So I'm assuming it's like a little litmus paper test that you can buy. So it's checkyourdrink.ie. Is it a .com?
Checkyourdrink.com. And now look, at they are available in different pharmacies as well. I'm sure that you can talk to your GP about them too. But for the average person, most pharmacies do stock these, and this is something that we are going to be launching an initiative now in January from Wexford in conjunction with the County Council and with the FGYS. We're going to be actually giving out toolkits that will provide those for people that puts a little bit of power back in their own hands. But if you don't have toolkits like that, which the majority of people don't, the biggest advice is don't leave your drink down. If it is at all questionable, please don't drink it. When we're talking about the benzodiazepines, typically, if you're drinking a clear drink, they will either turn green or blue. So if your drink has changed colour, if it's fizzy or anything that's suspect, do not drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Stick with your friends. Please don't be sidetracked or, you know, don't leave anybody alone, even if it is just to run to the bathroom or run outside to make a phone call. The power is in numbers. And I mean, with your friends alongside of you, you will be okay majority of the time, because you're going to have that support there. If you are at all questionable, report it to the staff in the establishment that you're in. we hope that they will act professionally and accordingly. They should ring for medical intervention. They should call for the guards. Mm. And aside from that, then ring yourself, make sure that you are supported. As I said, there are a lot of services out there. It's actually just making sure that that information is widespread. And that's what we are going to start doing. Come January now in Wexford, we're going to do it here. And we will be circulating all of the information that we are doing to all other local authorities in the hope that eventually we can tackle this national issue and make sure that for anybody of all ages, all genders and all backgrounds, if they are faced with this, that they know that they can either pick up the phone or they can go to the Garda station or their local hospital, and that they will be treated with the respect and the recognition that they deserve in this case.
Well, listen, it's been very interesting and a word of warning for everybody, and I suppose for anybody out there who believes they may become a victim of that. In other words, if you're in a bar some night and you feel very unwell all of a sudden and you haven't actually drank that much but you feel like you're very, very drunk, go to a trusted friend immediately and ask them to look after you if something like that happens, or you feel that might have happened to you as well, and also make sure you report it, as Aoife has said. Aoife, look, it's been a pleasure talking to you, although not a pleasure having the particular subject to talk about. Hopefully there won't be that many victims this Christmas, and everybody take care of each other. Listen, thank you very much indeed, Aoife Rose O'Brien. I appreciate you coming on the air to talk to us.
Thank you very much, Niall. Wishing you a very happy Christmas.
And you too. You too. Many happy returns. All right, now, there you go. Word of warning, not only the drink driving, watch your drinks when you're out. Watch your drinks. Don't leave them unattended. This has been going on for years. Years and years and years since I've worked in the nightclub industry. Keep an eye on your drinks. Years ago, one of the nightclubs that I worked in came up with this little novel idea, which was a lid for a glass. And it had a little ring thing on it. So when you put it on the glass, if it, somebody removed it, the ring changed colour or something like that. I can't remember exactly how it worked. So you would know it had been removed from the glass. I thought it was a very clever idea. It was just a simple idea, but very clever. I don't know what happened to the idea. Anyway, listen, thank you very much indeed to everybody involved, AJ, and everybody back base as well. I appreciate you joining us tonight. We shall talk to you again tomorrow night.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.